Chapter 29. From a burger joint in Biloxi, he checked his voicemail in Charlottesville and found three messages. Kaylee called to say she'd like to have dinner. A quick discard took care of her, forever. Fog Newton called to say the bonanza was clear for the next week and they needed to go fly. And Martin Gage with the IRS in Atlanta checked in, still looking for the facts of the bogus letter. Keep looking, Ray thought to himself. He was eating a prepackaged salad at a bright orange plastic table across the highway from the beach. He could not remember the last time he had sat alone in a fast food joint, and he was doing so now only because he could eat with his car close by and in plain sight. Plus, the place was crawling with young mothers and their children, usually a low-crime group. He finally gave up on the salad and called Fogg. The Biloxi Public Library was on Lemieux Street. Using a new map he'd purchased at a convenience store, he found it and parked in a row of cars near the main entrance. As was his habit now, he stopped and observed his car and all the elements around it before entering the building. The computers were on the first floor, in a room encased in glass, but with no windows to the outside, to his disappointment. The leading newspaper on the coast was the Sun Herald, and through a news library service, its archives could be searched back to 1994. He went to January 24, 1999, the day after Judge Attlee had issued his ruling in the trial. Not surprisingly, there was a story on the front page of the Metro section about the $11.1 million verdict over in Bay St. Louis, and it was certainly no surprise to see that Mr. Patton French had a lot to say. Judge Attlee refused comment. The defense lawyers claimed to be shocked and promised to appeal. There was a photo of Patton French, a man in his mid-50s with a round face and waves of graying hair. As the story ran on, it became obvious that he had called up the paper with the breaking news and had been delighted to chat. It was a grueling trial. The actions of the defendants were reckless and greedy. The decision by the court was courageous and fair. Any appeal would be just another attempt to delay justice. He had won many trials, he boasted, but this was his biggest verdict. Quizzed about the recent spate of high awards, he downplayed any suggestion that the ruling was a bit outrageous. A jury in Hinds County handed out $500 million 2 years ago, he said. And in other parts of the state, enlightened juries were hitting greedy corporate defendants for $10 million here and $20 million there. This award is legally defensible on every front, he declared. His specialty, he said as the story wound down, was pharmaceutical liability. He had 400 RIACS cases alone and was adding more each day. Ray did a word search for RIACS within the Sun Herald. 5 days after the story, on January 29th, there was a bold, full-page ad that began with the ominous question, "Have you taken RIACS?" Under it were two paragraphs of dire warnings about the dangers of the drug, then a paragraph detailing the recent victory of Patton French, expert trial attorney specializing in RIACS and other problematic drugs. A victim screening session would take place at a Gulfport hotel for the following 10 days with qualified medical experts conducting the tests. The screening was at no cost to those who responded. No strings attached, or at least none were mentioned. In clear letters across the bottom of the page was the information that the ad was paid for by the law firm of French and French, with addresses and phone numbers of their offices in Gulfport, Biloxi, and Pascagoula. The word search produced an almost identical ad dated March 1, 1999. The only difference was the time and place of the screening. Another ad ran in the Sunday edition of the Sun Herald on May 2, 1999. For almost an hour, Ray ventured out from the coast and found the same ads in the Clarion Ledger in Jackson, the Times-Picayune in New Orleans, the Hattiesburg American, the Mobile Register, the Commercial Appeal in Memphis, and the Advocate in Baton Rouge. Patton French had launched a massive frontal assault on RIACS and Meyer Brack. Convinced that the newspaper ads could spread to all 50 states, Ray grew weary of it. On a guess, he did a web search for Mr. French and was welcomed to the firm's own site, a very impressive piece of propaganda. There were now 14 lawyers in the firm, with offices in 6 cities and expanding by the hour. Patton French had a flattering 1-page biography that would have embarrassed those with thinner skins. His father, the elder French, looked to be 80 if a day, and had taken senior status, whatever that meant. The firm's thrust was its rabid representation of folks injured by bad drugs and bad doctors. It had brilliantly negotiated the largest RIAC settlement to date, $900 million for 7,200 clients. Now it was hammering Shine Medical, makers of Minitrin, the widely used and obscenely profitable hypertension drug that the FDA had pulled because of its side effects. The firm had almost 2,000 Minitrin clients and was screening more each week. Patton French had hit Clark Pharmaceuticals for an $8 million jury verdict in New Orleans. The drug it wore there was Cobril, an antidepressant that had been loosely linked to hearing loss. The firm had settled its first batch of Cobril cases, 1,400 of them, for $52 million.